Welcome back to part 2, why Bajrangi Bhaijaan is not your typical Salman film, but why that's a good thing. We also discuss reaction to the movie in light of recent personal events in Salman's life, Kareena Kapoor's career trajectory, as well as trailers and lots more in by far the most controversial episode of Bollywood Weekly.
पहले कभी कुछ भी चाहा नहीं वैसे क्यों चाहिए दिल को तेरी मौजूदगी कैसा से यूं चाहिए तू चाहिए तू चाहिए शामो सुबह तू चाहिए तू चाहिए तू चाहिए हर मर्तबा तू चाहिए जितनी दफा जिद हो मेरी उतनी दफा तू चाहिए
Okay, welcome back to part 2 of this week's episode, and we're going to move on now from Bahubali to Bajrangbali, aka Bajrangi Bhaijaan, which was Salman Khan's new movie that came out this week. And to help me, I have my two dear friends all the way from New York over FaceTime, Mansha and Shaz.
Hi Pish, thanks for having us.
Thanks Pish.
No, thank you guys for being here. So let's just jump right into it. What were your overall impressions of the movie?
So I thought the movie was far too long. At various points during the movie, I thought that they could have done away with certain scenes, especially ones that I felt were a bit unrealistic. So, for those of you who haven't watched it, Salman Khan stars as Pawan, also known as Bajrangi Bhaijaan, throughout the movie. And his role in the movie is to guide this 6-year-old girl who can't speak and is lost in India back to her family in Pakistan. And quite a noble deed, and I think the premise for the movie is actually it's quite nice and noble.
Yeah, I agree. I think what was really cool for me was that it was a really intelligent way to depict the Indo-Pakistan issue and religion. So if you remember, like with PK, religion was depicted, using an alien, but you still had all these political issues, the FIRs being lodged against Aamir Khan, even though they tried making it very innocent. But this, what they did was they used an actual child to convey this issue. And I think it's impossible to lodge any sort of FIR because any sort of meaning is so implicit based on her impressions that it's just hard to create controversy. And I think that's why it was just really intelligent to come up with a story using a girl who was unbelievably adorable and was able to emote so well throughout the film. So I think for me, the girl really carried the entire film more than Salman Khan. That face was just too cute.
Yeah, and I mean, on this whole India-Pakistan thing, I quite liked the message and the way that in the end, everyone from both countries kind of comes together to support Salman and to support the girl. And it brings home the point that, while there are all these political things happening and even notionally, when you talk to any Indian on the street, they'll be like, oh, we hate Pakistan. Or if you talk to a Pakistani, they'll be like, oh, we hate India. But at the end of the day, we're all the same people. And, we all of us have friends who are Pakistani or from Pakistan. And you realize that everyone is just the same and you don't really care about things like that. So I thought that was quite nice. Apart from that, what I liked about this movie is that despite the fact that it's a Salman Khan movie, and I am not a big fan of his typical movies like Devil and, Kick and all the other stuff.
Yeah, I agree. He's no Imran Hashmi for sure.
I knew that's going to come back to haunt me. But I like the fact that he, instead of playing this larger-than-life character who is revels in this hero-type role and is going around beating up people, he very much doesn't like the spotlight. He's a very simple guy. He just wants to do what's right. Just wants to be very in the background and not gather attention to himself. And that's very different to see Salman Khan in a role like that. And I thought he did it really well, which I was pleasantly surprised by.
You say that, And yeah, for sure, there wasn't a lot of the violence that and typical Salman characteristics that you see in a lot of his other movies, but he was still, there were still large elements of it being his movie. He's the hero, he's the guy who carries it. He did stay in the background a little bit because he kept pushing forward. You know, I'm a man of God and everything good that happens is...
And very little grey, essentially.
Sorry, what do you mean?
Very little grey elements in the sense.
Yeah, for sure. It was
basically what you're saying. He was essentially still perfect in some sort of way.
Yeah, he was perfect, and he was an understated, like somewhat understated version of what he usually does. He didn't beat people up, but he was still the guy who was doing this extremely noble thing and could basically cross borders and just escape the police and do all these things for a noble cause. So he.
Yeah, but I mean, I think my point was more, so it was. Okay, so it wasn't a typical Salman film, but it was still a very typical Bollywood film where you have a hero and he has this, you know, something that he needs to do, and a lot of things that happen are necessarily very realistic and things just magically fall into place when they're supposed to and stuff like that. But what I mean is he is not this guy who is... The things that happen from a... Like, he's not defying the laws of physics, for example, or he's not doing things which are really kind of where you look at this and you're like, okay, this is just... ridiculous. The stuff that happens is more like, okay, people would never behave this way in real life, and that's like you go for a movie and at some part of you accepts that that's gonna happen.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I know Bollywood movies have a certain reputation for being a certain way, but I think over the last at least few years that's changed considerably. So yes, it's like a typical Bollywood movie, but no, I think at the same time, just considering over the past few years, what we've seen is some sort of change. It is a departure from the Khan movie. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Typical Bollywood movies, I think, maybe a bit of a general statement.
Yeah, what are some of the movies you're thinking about when you say over the last few years it's been changing?
I think, like, things like Piku.
Sure.
PK. Can go on a few times.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's a good... Especially, yeah, Piku came out relatively recently, right? And
yeah,
that's a movie I really enjoyed just because it was... ambiguous as to who the main character was, what the exact point of the movie was. You know what I mean? Like, over here, it was a success. You knew exactly
right
what was going to happen. Or it was very obvious what the success in the movie would be, him returning this girl back to her home. And it was very plain vanilla in even the way they got there. So, you know, there was a bit of conflict, but there was never any doubt, really, where anything
yeah
that was going to happen. But in a movie such as Piku or Finding Fanny, for example, they're just showing people's lives and they're not necessarily doing anything world-changing, right? And they're not doing anything ridiculous and are really necessarily heroes. They're just people who are doing quirky things. And
that's effectively what I mean when I say this is a typical, maybe I should say stereotypical Bollywood movie instead, where it's, there, like you said, there's no ambiguity. It's very clear there is a hero, there is a heroine. There's this one is not a love story like many Bollywood movies are, but there is still, you know, very clear difference between good and evil, and you have someone on the side of good and people on the side
exactly
of evil and that. And I would argue that films like, there are many more films like Piku and PK and Talash and things like that which are coming out which are more ambiguous. I think there's still some time before we can call that a typical Bollywood film. I would argue those are non-typical films for Bollywood still.
No, absolutely. And they're not necessarily better or worse per se, right? Like,
yeah, they're just different.
I guess what was the goal of this movie? The goal of this movie was probably just to spread this idea of unity, you know, between the countries by, and the vehicle was Salman and this girl. And it did that in a nice way. The only things I really have an issue with are the things I regard as somewhat unnecessary. Like, an example of that in the movie is when he first crosses that border, right? And he's on the other side and he makes it a point to wait there for the army people to come and
take permission.
Exactly. Yeah. He just wants them to come and catch him so that he can be the bigger guy and somehow get out of it by
yeah
doing the right thing.
He does that and then he escapes jail at the same time.
Right.
So,
yeah, yeah. By beating people up. By beating people
exactly
up. Right. So but just that, right? What are you trying to tell people with that?
Exactly.
You should completely put your brain aside for a second and hope that something good magically happens to you. It doesn't really add up and it takes up valuable screen time in my opinion and doesn't really add much to the story.
Yeah, they overplayed that a lot because, I mean, the first time, okay, fine, you want to add some comic relief to the movie, I understand. They literally did the same thing 3 or 4 times. I was like, okay, we got the point. Can we move on now?
Even the little girl was like, tired of it now.
Yeah, the girl was tired of it. She almost started speaking then.
Yeah. I thought Nawaz's character was also really good, and his acting was really good.
He was, and he was came in too late. And it was so cool to see how it was so different from Kick, his character, and his interaction with Salman. Though I must mention how I when I first watched his introduction, I realized that Kabir Khan essentially copied a video that had gone viral a few years ago. Not to say that's bad, and he probably used that as inspiration, but it's pretty funny how, you know, you could use viral content to inspire the way your movie pans out. Especially that, I don't know, for viewers who don't know, not viewers, for people listening, for listeners, for listeners who haven't seen this, this is basically a scene where he's being introduced. He is essentially speaking to the camera and people are interrupting his little introduction to the news channel. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah, you should check it out. I think, Paige, you can post a link to that on next to the podcast, maybe. It's really funny.
Yeah, we will add a link to the description.
Yeah, did you mention the coincident, or not coincidentally, but his name was Chand Nawaz.
Yeah, exactly.
In the video and in the movie. So.
Yeah, no originality with the name.
I also like the fact that it's speaking of how you can use viral content, how in the end they use like YouTube to spread the word about Bajrangi Bhaijaan and his story, which I thought was quite cool as well.
Right, but it was also a double-edged sword, right? Because he ended up getting caught because of it, almost.
Social media is always a double-edged sword.
Mansha speaking from strong personal experience there.
Right.
Not at all.
Let's discuss that offline.
Yeah, we'll have to run a separate podcast just for Mansha's social life.
People in India are very disturbed by the fact that this movie is portraying Salman as such a good person in light of his cases. I mean, for me, I think it's if it's spreading us a good word or spreading a certain message, we should detach that from the fact that, you know, he's having cases. And if it's going to influence the jury or if it's going to influence the court case, then, you know, that's a separate matter altogether. But I don't know what you guys think about that.
Are people in India really disturbed? Are people in India really disturbed, though? Because, I mean, if you
At least 2-3 articles that I've read. So, Shobha Day is extremely upset right now.
But she's always upset. So, I mean...
Yeah, that's true. But a few people from First Post specifically, I think, few reviewers are not...
Yeah, I think it's really funny that is even a topic of conversation. It's just very reflective of the film culture in India, where you can't really separate the art from the person performing the art.
Right.
And I would understand if, you know, it makes sense in some circumstances, such as when you're doing something illegal to actually fund the movie, then I can understand people have an issue with the movie. But if somebody who just happens to be starring in this movie that's actually spreading a good message, then I don't understand how you can have anything negative to say, really. Like, maybe that person should just not try to portray anything good. Maybe he should only act in movies in which he's depicted as a criminal. Maybe that would make people happy, you know, because that's real life. But I mean, it's kind of silly to be having that conversation.
Yeah, I heard something so funny. Like, some people were bringing up his past with Aishwarya Rai and how the fact that he's trying to show that he's good to women is so paradoxical. It's pretty crazy, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever he's done, audiences clearly don't seem to care, because this movie's already, I think, on track to make 100 crores by the end of today, which is like 3 days.
Yeah, 27 crores on its first day, right?
Yeah, and it was, I think...
Not surprised.
And
it's Salman Khan with a real story, finally, so...
Yeah.
It's supposed to do well.
And there's no major movie coming out next week, as far as I remember, so... It'll be 2 weeks of just this, pretty much. Anyway, every Salman movie that comes out will break records regardless, but at least this one has some sort of message and some kind of storyline to it, which is nice.
So one thing that was, I thought, really cool is the fact that a lot of people can't associate an actor from his work, but sometimes having the actor's personality penetrate into his work is is a good thing, I think. Just because if you look at Salman, he's come from a family that's very largely secular. Yeah. So it almost makes sense in some sort of way that he's playing a role that, you know, focuses on not being either too Hindu or too focused on, you know, that sort of religious divide.
It makes sense for him to be playing that role because that's something he was brought up with. So exactly. I guess it's naturally reflected in his art.
Right.
But then I don't know if that should be carried out back towards, you know, back into his life, saying, oh, we watched this movie, you're not like that in real life. It's like, okay, but I never said I was, this character was, you know.
Exactly.
The inspiration can come from your real life, but that shouldn't be, people shouldn't hold you up to that in your real life because you're playing a character.
Yeah, one thing I was really disappointed about, I mean, I should be used to this because Kareena has been doing the same thing for the last, I don't know, what, few years. It's almost seemed like she was taken from Gori Tere Pyar Mein, from Bodyguard, just, you know, moved from movie to movie, not changed at all, and just put into this movie again.
Yeah.
And her look was the same, her design was the same. Manish Malhotra didn't do too much with her clothes, which was also a little bit of a disappointment. Like, her dupattas were pretty cool, I think, but there could have been more that was done. And I just think that she needs to do more. She has way too much potential that she's wasting away, but maybe her priorities are obviously different.
Yeah, but I don't
but
really
that
understand.
Was kind of upsetting.
Yeah, I don't really understand why she's gone this route, because there was a time a few years ago where she was in a position to be almost the undisputed number one, around the time when she did Omkara and a couple of other
movies.
She was,
in fact.
Yeah. And then, you know, in the last few years, if you look at the other leading actresses, you know, Deepika's done a lot of different types of roles, like Piku or like Ram Leela. Priyanka's done Barfi, she's done Mary Kom. All these actresses they do their Happy New Year's and their Gunde and other stuff, but they also experiment with different types of roles and really push themselves to do different things. But Kareena has somehow just got into this zone where she's just doing the same thing over and over again.
Right, yeah. Her character really didn't add any value to the movie. You knew exactly what she was going to say every single time she spoke. You know, she was like his conscience trying to keep him in check and saying, this is why I love you, don't change. But she didn't really add anything of her own to it.
And to that end, I'm actually glad that they didn't give her that bigger role. She's barely there in the movie. Because sometimes there's also a pressure that, oh, it's Kareena.
Yeah.
We're paying her this much. We have to, like, give her space and give her some random BS storyline. But
I've always liked Kareena. I feel like, I don't know, this is me psychoanalyzing Kareena. But I feel like she doesn't really care at this point. She's just, you know what I mean? She's just chilling right now. She's doing roles where she's looking glamorous. She doesn't feel like she needs to prove herself anymore. She has a husband, and she has a good life. So I almost think she doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Wait, is that controversial?
Maybe.
No.
Not really controversial, but it's like...
No.
But what if this becomes... What if she hears
this?
Mansha, you overestimated the reach of my podcast. I'd be really happy if you did hear it. But, I mean, let's be real right now.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to get hate messages from Kareena fans. But I am
a
Kareena fan.
Don't send yourself hate mail.
Again, really overestimating. Really overestimating how many people listen to this podcast. Actually, Mansha, you can do for me what AIB Knockout did for them. Like, stir up controversy so it becomes famous. It would be great.
God, I'm like, controversial things.
Okay.
Anyway.
But yeah, apart from that, I didn't think the music was that good. The selfie lele lele song gets kind of catchy if you listen to it multiple times, but apart from that, it's like...
There was one song.
There were seven songs in the movie, and I think most of them were extremely out of place and not really necessary.
I remember that chicken song now. That was quite ridiculous.
Yeah, the chicken song. It was like... I think the less said about that, the better.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
But yeah, I think earlier people used to at least try to weave the songs into the storyline. Like, I remember in Yes Boss, you know, they have this entire... I know this is going way back, but they have this entire sequence in the mountains when Shah Rukh and Juhi Chawla are doing their, you know, like, the Swiss Mountain song that was very common at the time. But then he wakes up out of a dream. And at least it makes a bit of sense, you know? It's like, okay, he was dreaming of doing this. But a lot of these songs in this movie are just people are hanging out and then everyone knows this choreographed dance all of a sudden. which seems a bit.
But that's in every movie.
Far-fetched.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not saying it's specific to this one. I'm saying it, I don't see an obvious reason for it.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the concept of song just resonate with our, at least the Salman Khan fan base also, right? Like Salman Khan's fans are so used to imitating certain steps. Every single movie he's had has a signature step. So they have to find a catchy song, put one or two signature steps.
Yeah, his steps are becoming easier and easier to do though as he gets older. He can't do as much stuff. He's not as nimble.
To be fair, so, in this movie, he did quite a bit more than what he normally does. He was at least like moving around and jumping and stuff. Like in Dabang, the guy just stands there and moves his belt around for like 10 minutes.
That was a classic move though. You know you want to do that. You know you have done that in front of the mirror, Pish.
I have not.
I might have seen you do it a couple
of times. I've only done the one from Reddy with the when his hand's in his pockets and he's moving from side to side. That one I've done.
What about the one from
very hard to do. No, that was when
you
used to
I remember both times you did that in front of me, I was not quite ready for it.
Shaz, these things are not meant to be shared on a public forum. Okay, so I think that wraps up our segment on Bajrangi Bhaijaan. Overall verdict on the movies, guys, in one word or two.
Simplistic.
I want to say it's like in some sort of way an intelligent strategy to depict a political sort of issue.
How many words is that? I think that's like 14 or 15.
Yeah, that's a lot of words.
That's more than one word, but that's fine. We'll take it. But overall, it was pretty good movie. Worth the watch. Unlike
especially
your
for like the family, I think.
Yeah.
Which family?
Just
the family. Yeah.
Everyone. Like I know for me, a lot of my grandparents. And
while Mansha lists out the rest of her family members, we will take a short break. Here is a quick clip from the song "Selfie Lele" from Bajrangi Bhaijaan, and we'll be back after this to discuss trailers. Moving on now, there's been a lot of trailers that have come out in the last week and a half, and we actually didn't talk about too many last week, so let's spend some time now. Mansha, do you want to take the lead as the most up-to-date on all the trailers?
So what has come out? Release, Bajirao Mastani, Welcome Back. Do you guys already discuss that?
No, we haven't discussed any of this, so let's go.
Okay, cool. So Bajirao Mastani, I think it was a pretty cool trailer. What stood out was the fact that there was no
dialogue
in the entire trailer, which just sort of signifies how grand it's probably going to be. I was actually surprised by Deepika's get up. I thought she would be, you know, adorned with, you know, all these jewels for most of the scenes that I saw. But it seems like she comes in as a very strong warrior-like figure, which I'm excited to see because I know she's going to do brilliantly and she still looks gorgeous.
On a side note, which you guys missed out, we covered in the first part of this podcast, if y'all watch Bahubali, Tamanna as like a warrior princess, more or less, is really good. Except she's only there for like the first bit of the movie. Yeah, about Bajirao Mastani, it looked pretty good, but I'm not convinced about Ranveer Singh as a Maratha warrior for some reason. Maybe just because of all the other roles that I've seen him in. He just doesn't seem like he has the presence or the kind of grandeur that you require to play that kind of role.
I mean, he shaved off his head.
Yeah, that's important.
Step one to being a warrior, shave your head.
So yeah, the next one was, I thought we could talk about release, but it's just a teaser, I believe, that released. I'm excited for it. I'm hoping we might see the same, we might get the same feeling we got when we saw Shah Rukh Khan and Chakde, you know?
Okay, yeah.
I feel like I'm excited for that. I hope that we see Shah Rukh Khan actually playing his age and not looking like he's trying to romance someone who's, you know, 20 years younger.
Junior, yeah.
So I'm excited.
Any indication on what that movie's about yet?
Isn't it about
He's basically, it's basically set in Gujarat and he is a bootlegger. So he sets up this bootlegging empire, and I mean, beyond that, I don't know, but it's set up as a thriller slash action movie, and it's produced by, or co-produced at least, by Farhan Akhtar and Ritesh Sidwani. So just based on that alone, I'm guessing and hoping that it should be pretty good.
And it's scheduled release in a year, correct?
Eid 2016.
There's going to be a clash of the guns, because Salman Sultan is releasing then, right?
Right.
Yeah. But Salman and Shah Rukh are BFFs on Twitter now, so it's all good.
Yeah, but that's going to change soon.
That's much of the latest gossip.
I know we saw Welcome Back as well. I loved Welcome, let me put this on record. I know people hate that movie.
Yeah,
but
I'm not a big fan of that movie.
Shas, come on.
Welcome
was a great movie.
It's a great movie, mainly because of Nana Patekar. Control over there. It is great.
A couple of our friends say that line repeatedly.
I was very disappointed that there was no Control Uday in the trailer. And I feel like there may not be in this movie.
That's actually pretty upsetting.
That's like Bond not saying the name is Bond, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's kind of similar to that. Wait, there was supposed to be a sequel to No Entry as well. Is there any news on that yet or no?
No, not heard anything.
It was supposed to be No Entry, May Entry.
Yeah, but I don't know what happened to that. Even though Welcome Back was supposed to release last year, and it's been delayed and delayed and delayed, and they finally managed to finish it. But, I mean, in all seriousness, I did love the first one, but I still think this one is going to be pretty terrible. It didn't look very...
Yeah, I don't think they can recreate the magic that they created.
The magic? The magic is stretching it a bit, but even then
I think the magic is the way they survive that.
that was during Akshay Kumar's golden run, where he had like 7-8 hit movies in a row and no one else released anything in that time, and he was just suddenly the big guy, and then Chandni Chowk to China came out and it all went down the drain.
Right, my opinion on that whole run was that the movies just kept getting more and more ridiculous and people were just going with it, and then he pushed it one too far, you know, and exploded on it.
That's more...
Maybe even Salman was getting kind of close to that, and he tried to throw this movie into it. He tried to throw in Bajrangi Bhaijaan to kind of bring him back towards the normal.
There is another trailer I did see, Calendar Girls.
Oh.
What is that?
Yeah, that's...
So that's...
Madhur Bhandarkar's latest...
Madhur Bhandarkar's new movie. It's essentially basically fashion.
Okay.
The same movie, no, with
same
more people.
But not a sequel.
No, no. It's just the same movie. So instead of models, it's about models on calendars.
Okay, sure.
So, no promotion. I've not even seen much promotion for that. I guess they don't have enough of a marketing budget.
Maybe Mr. Malia will make a guest appearance. He's this particular area of expertise, right?
Guys, we're really ratcheting up the controversy on this episode, huh?
Seriously. I was about to say that.
I'm glad you guys are trying to get me more listens. I'm very appreciative of this.
Really? This will give you more listens?
No, I think the analysis of the movie hopefully will give you more listens.
And that's, yeah, and what else?
That movie, Hero, with Suraj Pancholi and Akhya Shetty.
So Hero was... I saw it. I mean, I didn't have any sort of... thoughts about it. It just reminded me of Tiger Shroff's debut. But hopefully this guy can do something better.
I mean,
I don't have any expectations.
It's basically the same thing. It's like an actor actors' kids being launched in a new movie. And
right. I feel like a lot of these actors, they don't see the first movie as, you know, the movie that, you know, is going to become big. It's essentially that, you know, mini stepping stone to something bigger just to get their name out there. So I don't know how many expectations the team has for it, considering you have so many movies coming out during that time period, probably. So, yeah, no expectations there.
Okay, and that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you, Mansha and Chaz, for being here.
Thanks for having us, Pish. Pleasure.
Thanks, Pish. This was fun.
And thank you, listeners, for being with us. If you like what we're doing, don't forget to subscribe to TIC Productions on SoundCloud or to Bollywood Weekly on the iOS podcast app. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter for regular updates. And if you want us to talk about specific topics or review specific movies, do drop us a line on Twitter or on Facebook or by email or ticmediaproductions@gmail.com. Thanks again and see you next week.